Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you that don't know me, I do know most people, I think. I've been in the church, I've realised it's about my birthday, actually, about 13 years this Sunday after James and I got married, that I joined River Church and we joined the main head congregation. And so most of you know me, but if you don't know me, I'm Annie and I'm married to James, who's here, and we have three gorgeous children. Florence, who's 7, Thomas, who's 4, and Millie, who's 10 months. So I'm a busy mum. I'm a trained teacher, but at home with the kids at the moment. So that's me. But I'm not going to be talking about my day to day in one way, but in another way I am. We're going to be talking about getting fruity today. We're going to be getting fruity. So I'm going to start by talking about fruit. Don't know about you, but I love fruit. And my children, especially Thomas, loves fruit. He'll ask for an apple or grapes for breakfast. And We started sorting out our garden, and one of the first things we did was to put fruit in our garden. So we've got a bit of the good life going at our house. Some of you know we've got 3 hens, and we've got a veggie patch and various types of fruit. So we've put in 2 small apple trees, 2 small pear trees, 3 blueberry bushes, raspberry bushes, a plum tree, strawberries in pots and in the veg patch, and even we have a peach tree in a pot. So we do like fruit. We want it coming out of our garden. You may look at James and I and assume all sorts of things. You may not have assumed that we loved our garden. James loves designing, planting, rearranging, and I love the veggies, the fruit and the hens. So we're quite a combination. But I'm going to talk about the fruit, spiritual fruit today. I love these verses in Psalm 92. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." The Amplified Bible translates verse 14 as, "Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap, of spiritual vitality, and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment." I love that. Don't you want to be like that? And we don't have to wait, I don't think, until we're very old, although I want to be like that when I'm old. I want people to say, "Oh, she's full of sap." I'm sure they'll be saying all sorts of things. But what does it mean to bear fruit in our lives? So right at the beginning, in Genesis 1, verse 28, talking to Adam and Eve, it says, "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it.'" So this is at the heart of God's desire for us. And I don't think it just means having children, as the word multiply kind of adds that dimension. But the word fruitful here can mean flourish, increase, and grow. The word fruit is found 208 times in the Bible. Fruits 42 times and fruitful 35 times. So I think we have a strong theme. God wants us to have fruitful lives, every one of us. John 15 says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So I'm not going to go through those verses in detail, but I wanted to give out the emphasis that Jesus laid on the high priority of us having fruitful lives. The well-known verses of Galatians 5 speak of the fruit that is produced in our life when the Holy Spirit is the influence moulding us more into the likeness of Jesus. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So there's different types of fruit that we can have in our lives. One is the fruit that's produced by the Holy Spirit within us. But I also think that the fruit is the good that's produced out of our relationship with God, our relationship with Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We know the fruits of the Spirit, and we should be seeing those grow in our lives as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. The fruit is also the produce of our obedience to God. So what is it that Jesus has asked us to do? Well, he's asked us to love one another. He went on and on and on and on and on about that. So I think it's very important that we should do it. And it should lead to good fruit in our lives, which should look like good relationships with one another. And people should recognize God in us through those. Jesus also went about preaching the good news of the gospel, healing the sick and casting out demons. And he's asked us to carry on this work. A quarter of the gospels is concerned with healing. That was part of the outworking of the kingdom Jesus brought. Jesus sent out the 12 to do the same. He told them to go out and preach the same message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Then he sent out the 72. But his commission was not just restricted to the 12 and the 72. Jesus expected all his disciples to do the same. In the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" The longer ending in Mark says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well." And in Jesus' last words on earth, as recorded in Luke, in Acts 1, verse 8, as he ascended into heaven, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." About 4 years ago, I read these verses again, and I listened to them for the first time. I was reading the book When Heaven Invades Earth by Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson, if you don't know, is a senior pastor of a large church in Redding, California. It was at a time when lots of people were coming and going to Bethel, coming back with amazing stories. I couldn't go myself at the time with my young family, but I wanted to know what it was all about, so I read the book. Bill Johnson encourages us through that book that these verses apply to us. In Mark, it said that these signs will accompany those who believe, i.e. all Christians. When I read about that and thought about those verses, it was as though a light bulb had been switched on in my heart. I realised that the Great Commission was not that great in my life, more like the Forgotten Commission. Did I really believe that God really wanted to use me to speak out the good news and to pray for the sick? Did I believe that being filled with the Spirit is supposed to be evidenced with the power of God in my life? Or had I let him become some kind of self-help guru that was helping me to make the most of my life? I'd forgotten the words of Jesus. I hadn't realised he was talking to all Christians. Surely he didn't mean me. At the time that I was reading the book, Florence must have been about 3 and Thomas 6 months, I felt quite far from God. I felt I had no time to pray even. I wasn't feeling very spiritual and certainly not powerful. I remember lying in bed and asking the Holy Spirit to fill me up again and to use me in my daily life. I'd read a portion of the book that had challenged the readers to get on and pray for people. And the next day, would you believe it, I was shopping with my mum in Daniels, Windsor, and we met an acquaintance of hers from her church. Some of you will know this story, as I shared it at the time. She explained that she was on her way to the hospital to have some urgent follow-up tests following a very recent discovery of a mass on an x-ray of her lungs. I found myself offering to pray for her and for my mum too, who was quite surprised. And she said, "What? Here in Daniels?" When she agreed, we stood and quietly prayed for her complete healing. I hadn't felt anything and the prayers had been very simple. But when we stopped, she said that she had felt a power go through her body and that our hands were propping her up. The following week, I was desperate to know how she'd got on. My mum was pleased to tell me that no cancer could be found. The doctors said the mass must have been a shadow. So praise God. And I accepted that God could even use me. I've been taking opportunities to pray for people since then, and I've been amazed by his desire and power to heal. I hadn't realised quite how good God was. And I'm going to interrupt my talk to get us to pray now, if that's okay. Because in this life of mine, which is now being willing to pray for people, I get various requests from people, and a friend who is not a Christian yet texted me 2 nights ago to say, please pray for her dad, who's critically ill in hospital. And she said, I'm desperate. Please pray. So can we pray for him now? His name is Roger. I'll pray, and if you can, amen, that'll be great. Yeah, God, we thank you that you are a God who heals. You are a God who wants to move in power today amongst us and through us, and you want to show your love. And we lift up Roger to you now, and we pray that your presence would be in his room, and that he would know it is you, that he would know it is you. And we pray that you would touch his body by your Holy Spirit, and you would bring healing and restoration. And we pray for his family as they surround him, that you would speak to them and they would clearly know that you are with them. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a good way of getting it round, Jan, wasn't it? Rather than having to send it round. Yeah, some of you will know all that already. Many of us count ourselves out of being used by God. We think we have too many issues that need sorting, or we're too shy, or we're going through difficult times. Many of us think that we need to be in some way set apart for evangelism or healing ministry. But the truth is that God wants to use each and every one of us to reveal the goodness of God to those around us. He wants to use each of us to bring light in the darkness. You don't need to be a huge flame to extinguish darkness. A little flame will do the job. That means each and every one of us can be used by God to be salt and light. Just a little salt brings flavour, and a single match will defeat darkness every time. In Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus tells us what we are like. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We were singing earlier, Jesus, shine your light that people may see. Well, how has he chosen to do that? Who was he told is light? That's us. Okay, so we were singing to each other then, saying, Jesus, shine your light out through me, that people may see and know. So Jesus is asking us to let our light shine before men. Read for that. Friends, family, neighbours, work colleagues, acquaintances, strangers, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I think that means living well in a way that reveals the light of God in our lives. For some of us, being salt and light may be the best way to show Jesus. You may have a workplace ministry where the Holy Spirit enables you to shine brightly and to prevent decay. So, we want to live our lives well in full view of those around us. Not hiding in here, but amongst people, hopefully bringing glory to God. But there's also a time for bringing a message, for proclaiming good news. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul describes this as the message of reconciliation, saying that God has committed to us the message of reconciliation, as though God were making his appeal through us. So what is this message? I don't want to assume that everybody here knows what the message is, so I'm going to be clear. God wants to bring every human being back into love relationship with him. He sent his son Jesus to die as a sacrifice for us. He took all our sin upon him so that we don't need to take the punishment ourselves. And then he raised him up again as he defeated death, broke the power of sin and the work of Satan. It is amazing news. It is good news. God is love. God loves each one of us, all mankind, and he wants us to know him and to live in the light, free from the entanglements and dangers of sin and filled with his Holy Spirit. That is the good news. That is the message of reconciliation. The good news is that Jesus showed us what God is like, that he wants to save us, to forgive our sins, for us to live judgment-free lives, that he wants to give us fullness of joy and peace. He wants to heal our diseases. He wants to bring justice for the poor and oppressed. And he values every person, no matter what they've done. That's what Jesus was like. The good news is that God loves the world. It is good news. When we were praying before the meeting, Colin kept saying, good news, good news, good news. I was thinking, yeah, it's good news. Anybody getting excited about that? Are you all falling asleep? Now, the purpose of my talk is not to pressure you into sharing your faith or to make you feel guilty or for not offering to pray for the sick. But my purpose is to show that this ministry of reconciliation is for all of us. We can all be involved. We can all shine our lights. No one is excluded from this. This is about living our everyday, normal lives full of the Holy Spirit in front of people. So God used a book to help me to see the power of the Holy, how the power of the Holy Spirit should be producing fruit in my life. And the teaching at River has reinforced it since then. But it was during a very different and difficult experience that I learnt that our lives can produce fruit even in the most difficult circumstances if we cling to God. In December 2009, our son Thomas became seriously ill. He was 2 years. I'm not going to cry. I put on mascara. Incentive. Don't cry. He was 2 years and 9 months at the time. What they first thought to be a blockage in his bowel was found to be only one of the many symptoms he would go on to experience. As he battled with hemolytic uremic syndrome, known as HUS. It's a syndrome caused by a dangerous strain of E. coli. Thomas suffered kidney failure and was on dialysis at Great Ormond Street Hospital for 3 weeks. He had 5 plasma exchanges, and following the third of his seizures, remained in a coma-like state for about 2 of those 3 weeks. Some of you saw him like that. The brain involvement caused him to lose movement in his limbs and caused his body to pretty much shut down. As you can imagine, those were very difficult days and nights. Don't look at James. Not a good move. It was while sitting at Thomas's side that I read the Alpha Testimony books, The God Who Changes Lives, that Lucy Freckleton had given me to read. She gave me little packs to take into hospital. They were books filled with hope and full of lives changed by meeting God through the Alpha Course. And that was all I could face reading. We had church friends and leaders come and pray daily with Thomas. We were praying for a miracle. We were praying that Thomas would survive. We were praying that he would keep his unique personality and that all would be restored to him. We were praying that he would be home for Christmas. During that time, from the 3rd of December until the 23rd of December, each day was worse than the one before it. When we thought things couldn't get any worse, they would. I'm not going into the detail, but God was answering lots of little prayers in the day-to-day, but Thomas was still getting sicker. Then on the 23rd of December, I was sitting with Thomas on my lap to move his limbs and exercise his muscles when I asked him if he wanted to get back into bed. He said, yeah. He hadn't spoken for over 2 weeks. From that moment, he began to get better, and his blood test results showed that his body was getting through the other side. The miracles, there are many of them, were that he survived, that his personality and physical abilities were intact, although in need of time to get back to strength. And we came home on December the 24th in time for the best Christmas ever. During that time, James and I and our families went through a range of different emotions. But there was an overriding peace that prevailed over us during that time. God's presence was with us. He was with us in that dark time. Why am I sharing this with you? Well, firstly, because you are our family and we want to give testimony to God's goodness. But I also wanted to share it for another reason. Prior to Thomas's illness, I'd been chatting to a friend about God and I'd invited her onto the Alpha course. She hadn't been interested at the time, but I kept praying for her. This friend was close enough to our family to watch closely our family go through this time. It was our, and she saw how our faith in God was the rock on which we stood, and she saw how it helped us. Following Thomas's recovery, and the same week that I'd approached Chris Greenslade to say I wanted to find out more about the Alpha team, she came to me and asked if she could come on the course. I felt that was important to share, as it showed me that if we hide in God, if we turn to him in our times of need, he can bring fruit out of the most difficult of times. My friend went on to commit her life to Jesus, and it's such a pleasure to see her grow in her relationship with Jesus. The way I see it, the enemy seeks our destruction, and we do have battles to fight. But if we lean into God and hide in him, he is so good, he even brings fruit out of those situations. He is the ultimate redeemer. I see friends and family coming to know the love of Jesus as the ultimate fruit in our lives. Living our lives as salt and light, being willing to give an account of what we believe, and there is also a time for proclaiming the good news with love and sensitivity. The Alpha Course, note the link, is an amazing resource. It's such a privilege to be involved with. Following reading the testimony books, which I would recommend every single one of you to read, I was keen to get involved, and thankfully, there was a space for me on the team. On the Alpha course, we're able to present the basic truths of Christianity, and the guests are able to question and discuss and decide for themselves what they believe. You may not feel confident explaining the gospel to someone yourself, although we can each speak of our own experiences of God's gospel being worked out in our lives. But I'm sure we could all give out Alpha invitations or Alpha books. I gave my cleaner, I have a clean house, because of her, the Alpha book in Polish, because she's Polish. Okay, you can just give a book. It doesn't have to even be, if you don't think they're at the course is appropriate. But we can all reach out in some way. On our current course, we have a lovely young lady. Her neighbour dropped an invitation through her door. He felt that was the right thing to do. What he didn't know was that he was one of a number of people that had pointed her towards Christianity. So she agreed to come. If you want to know more, talk to Richard Hipkin. Where are you, Richard? There we are. He's the obedient believer who is shining his light before his neighbour. So I'm going to finish now. I'm going to sum up and I'm going to hand over to Chris. But really my encouragement to you is that if we really believe that God is good, then it's news we need to share. And it's new, and it might be that you just need to realise that you are shining, that you are shining. And you just need to know that people can see it and that you're living your life before God is giving glory to him. And for some of you, you need the encouragement to speak or to invite or to really believe that God wants to use you. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. So I'll hand over to Chris.
That's fabulous. You know, Annie, when you read out the verses at the beginning, you talked about the fact that Jesus has been the gardener. He cuts out the dead wood, but he prunes the tree where it's bearing fruit. And I can't think of a place where you get more pruned than when it involves your kids. I just can't think of anything harder than that. If you heard something this morning from Annie that resonated with you, if you heard something that you just want to talk to her about, get some prayer on, please do see Annie afterwards, or indeed the prayer team who will be up there later on. But, and Annie's made the link for me, we are unashamedly going to talk about Alpha now for the remaining minutes, okay? And I say that because it's so important. It's so important. Alpha is a fantastic resource, and I just feel to say, Alpha is not just our thing, and that's Annie, Glynis, Gary and myself, it's not just our thing. Clearly it is our thing because we do it, but it's not just our thing. It's your resource. It's a tool available to you. So I'm conscious that there's some people here who may not even know really what Alpha is, and he's kind of thinking, well, I'm sort of picking up bits. So I'll just ask Gary to come and just explain what Alpha is so that you can get it now, once and for all, in your mind, particularly if you're new, particularly if you haven't heard about it beforehand.
Thank you very much. What a nice-looking bunch of people you are. I hope you're feeling the same looking back. a little bit about Alpha, a few facts. It started in 1990 in Holy Trinity Brompton Church in London, and it now runs in 166 countries throughout the world, and there are about 55,000 courses being run annually. Here in River, we started in 1994, and we run it approximately three times a year. That's in line with the school terms. So if you do the maths, that's about 50 courses to date. And typically we have about six people on each course. So again, a bit of maths, that's about 300 people have been through Alpha in River Church, which is fantastic. I can't remember all their names, I have to say, but there's 300 lovely people have been through the course. The basic format is quite simple. What we do is we get together once a week, usually on a Wednesday evening. It takes about 10 weeks in total, and we start with a meal. It is great. Colin was involved in Alpha for many, many years, and at the start of it, he and I had a similar build, but I really took to the meal thing, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And we start with a meal. It's fantastic. Then we have a 30-minute talk from one of the team. We deliver the talks ourselves, and that is based strictly on the Alpha material. And then we have a short cake and coffee break. There's a bit of a theme going on there, you see. It's quite good. And finally, we have about a 45-minute chat discussion about the subject matter that's been presented that night or anything else relating to Christianity. that our guests want to discuss. Because you can imagine people come along and you talk about one thing and they're going, and that's absolutely fine. We talk about what is important to the guests and we enjoy that. It's really important to realise that there's no magic formula that we are doing. There's nothing magic about it. Okay, I think as speakers, we're probably okay. We've been practicing a lot. Delivering the same talk time and time again does help you iron out some of the mistakes you make the first few times, and hopefully we're okay. I hope so. The food is lovely, as I've said. That is fantastic. And a big thank you to all the lovely men and women who prepared the meals each week. That is good. I mean, I benefit so much, and I don't know half of them, but I am so happy every Wednesday night because of you guys. So that's great. And we do that. And the social atmosphere that we try to create is welcoming and non-judgmental. So that's what we try to put in place. But that only removes barriers. If those things weren't there, there'd be a barrier to people hearing the message. So we try and remove the barriers. That's our job. Now, what actually works is a supernatural formula. It's quite simple, really. It's not hard to understand. But you take people who've got an interest in God, a mild interest in God and Christianity, and then you take a God who absolutely loves them to bits and wants to communicate with them and tell them how much he cares for them and how much he wants to be a part of their lives, and you put them in the same place, and it's not hard to work out what happens, is it? It's not hard to work out what happens when people who are interested meet a God who's interested in them. Bam, something happens. A relationship arises. It is fantastic. It is superb. They get to know each other on their own terms, in their own way, and it's fantastic. That is how it works. They say, I've heard it said that people need to hear the gospel about 6 times to respond. That's what I've heard. And, I mean, everyone's individual and everyone's different, so let's not make it into too much of a formula here. But after about 6 weeks on the Alpha course, something happens. Something happens, usually halfway through the course. People come, they're all lovely people, and we're all nice, and it's all fine. But about middle of the course, 6 weeks in, something happens. People start thinking, oh, and God has that relationship between them and God. It's all individual, but between them and God, something happens. And wow, and we seem to have a breakthrough week. They're all nice weeks, but suddenly the atmosphere changes, and it's usually in the middle. And it happened this week on Alpha, only 4 days ago. Wow, that was our breakthrough week. Suddenly the course changed. Suddenly everyone is positive. Everyone is suddenly, they stopped asking questions about, is this true? Is that true? But they started, you can see the atmosphere is, how can I be more of a part of this? That is fantastic. So, I mean, that is the key thing that we try and explain on the course, that it is not about rules. Okay? We try and explain it is not about thou shalt this, thou shalt not that, but it's about relationship, it's about love, it's about forgiveness, it's about compassion, it's about friendship, it's about opportunity, it's about potential, all those kind of things. That's the key thing we do. So to summarise, do you know, I would say, looking back at 300 people that have come through Alpha and River, the vast, vast majority really enjoy the course. That is true. I would say that many of the people that come on the course make huge, huge strides in their personal faith. They really do. Most people make huge strides in their personal faith when they come on the Alpha course. And you know, quite a lot of them become Christians as well. There are a lot of lovely, lovely people in this church and many other churches in the area who have come through the Alpha course and they've met with Jesus and their lives have been changed. Thank you.
Fabulous. As a result of Annie's life being pruned, someone came to know Jesus. You know, and she's got a friend who just saw her life in the raw and could see Jesus in it. And that's kind of what we're all about, isn't it, really? And it is exciting. I've got a friend too. just one. Her name's Jill, and she's going to come and tell you her story now. So welcome, Jill, please.
Thank you, Chris. Hello, everybody. Oh, hi. My name's Jill, And I've just come along this morning to tell you a story. Very brief. And it is that I always knew, you know, I always believed in God, but I'd never really done anything about really believing in God. And I have a fabulous family, and I was away on an evening having a dinner with my niece, and we were out for dinner. She's a Christian, and just happened to say to her that there's something, you know, maybe there's something missing in my life, looking at her for sort of inspiration. You know, maybe it is this faith thing that she's got and other people in my family had got. And, you know, that maybe that's what I was looking for. I spent a little while thinking, you know, I've lost my mother. There's something going on, you know, there's something in my life missing. And she'd gone home and she'd said to my brother, a real proper Christian, that Auntie Jill is seeking faith. You know, she's looking for something. And anyway, my brother decided that, you know, he should step forward here. And man of very few words, he sent me an email, pick you up, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, taking you to an Alpha course. And I didn't really know what an Alpha course was. I looked it up on the internet thinking, oh, right, so he's going to do something to help me get to this faith. Should I have mentioned anything to my niece? Well, anyway, I did, so that happened. And hang on a minute. Wednesday night, I played badminton. I'm going off to this Alpha course. Well, I'll just see. You know, I'll see, because I'm busy every Wednesday playing badminton. Got to the Alpha course with the introduction with Chris and Gary, and, you know, they told us what it was about, and I thought, oh, okay. Right, we'd had a nice evening. So, did anybody like to come back the next week? You could just sign your name on this list. I thought, yeah, I'm going to come back next week. I need to know a bit more about this. So I signed my name, forgetting all about badminton for the next 12 weeks. You know, and there I was on the course, and it worked. It was within 2 or 3 weeks. This is my new life. I've now understood what I've been missing, and this is the way to get it. So, but one of the things I must say is I kept saying on the Alpha course, oh, I'm probably too old for this. I should have done this years ago. You know, no, you're never too old for this. It doesn't matter how old you are, it does work. And since doing the course, I then, you know, became what I would sort of, on my path to being a proper Christian, joined Marlowe Christian Fellowship. They're thinking of me this morning. They know I'm here. I was allowed to come over. So yeah, I came, you know, I've joined the church, and after a year and a half, I then was baptized, which, you know, I'm really, really pleased that I was able to sort of do it all, and it wasn't too late. And I just, you know, hoped that it might be a slight inspiration, you know, to you folk who may be able to suggest that somebody who may think they're too old is not. And since taking up on Alpha, my life is actually much more complete than it was before. And I thought that I was having a perfectly good life and everything was fine. But now I have a perfectly good life, everything's fine, but I have a really good, deep feeling about things, and my faith is with me. Okay, so thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jo. She's a fabulous. What a pleasure to be able to meet Jill, hey? You know, it's absolutely brilliant having people come through on the Alpha course. And I actually don't care which church they go off to afterwards, providing that they're just growing in their own journey. You know, they're going along. And it really was exciting just a few weeks ago to go down to Marlowe Christian Fellowship and have the pleasure of just watching Jill get baptized. It really was brilliant. Just on the current course, we've got a chap there, a friend of Mick Francis. Again, just a passing comment. With Mick, I think it's been longer conversations, not so much as a passing comment that got him to come along. But it was a longer conversation. And this guy
as been explained, we kind of take some of the mystique out. We try and just make things accessible. So we talk about how do you actually pray to God? What's involved? What do you do? You know, because, you know, there's people who've never prayed beforehand. Some people have prayed, they've tried it, but they're not really sure if they're doing it right. So we just explain what it's about, how you can go about, what might happen, and so on. And this guy came back and he said, I felt God say something to me. This guy's mid-40s, he's fairly cerebral, fairly earnest. And he just said, God said, celebrate. So this guy he said, I started dancing. Now, hello, I don't do dancing, you know, but this guy was dancing on an alpha course. That's just fantastic. You know, and it's just brilliant. You can actually see the change on his face, and I'm not kidding. We've seen it quite often. You can see the change on people's faces over the weeks because they're meeting Jesus. Right. We're just drawing to an end, but I'd like to do something a bit different this morning. I'd just like to try something new. I'd like you to ask yourself this question. Just like in Annie's story, where are you being pruned? With whom am I or could I share my life? Did you get a name just then? If you did, please do something about it. Just do something about that. Don't let it go. If you didn't, don't worry about it. Just pray that God will give you the opportunity to share your life in the raw with someone. Second question. Ask yourself the question, who can I invite on Alpha? It's your Alpha. Who would you like to invite on an Alpha? Do a Richard. Take a risk and be blessed. Have a chat with him afterwards. He'll tell you how blessed he was in this lady responding. And the third question, if I'm not in a position to invite anyone on Alpha or feel I can't, why not? And please hear me, this isn't a condemning question, not at all. In fact, what we're going to do in Alpha style, we're going to stop pretty much on time. You're going to go and have your coffee, and I'm just going to ask you for the first 5 minutes to consider that question and discuss it. Not in a condemning way, but in an encouraging way. Think about it. Well, why not? There may be good reasons. It may be difficult. Maybe it's just not the sort of thing I do. But just chat it through with other people. Just have a discussion. See what comes out. See whether you get some ideas. See whether you get some encouragement. Please do not be condemned by it. Just feel, can I do something with this? You know, maybe you'll get inspired through your conversation. Maybe it'll help you along that journey a little bit. 5 minutes, and I'm going to ask you to show some leadership resolve and keep yourselves and your groups to discussing that for 5 minutes. And then you can do your normal discussion. But it really is quite important as part of the just working it through. If you're a guest, or this is really just not your thing, or you're new here, then please don't feel you have to join in one of those discussions. Please come and have a chat with me. Have coffee with me, and we'll chat about something else, about you. Okay? That'd be great. And finally, I just want to say, you are now released to tea and coffee and 5 minutes of discussion. And if anyone wanted prayer, don't forget, the prayer team will be here, as will Annie. Thank you very much.